Welcome back, WNST, Tassel Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. I got the blue skies up. It's 100 degrees outside. We're trying to figure out this summer thing, get through the all-star break here. That used to be the middle of summer. It was like the all-star break. And then the Orioles became the Orioles. This guy went to the Oriole game the other night. He is, if I call you my web doctor, does that make you it's too official because you're not really a doctor, you just play one on the internet? Mike Rosenfeld is here. He is a web connection. He's my chief digital officer. So when I say that to like everyone out there, they're like, why would I need a chief digital officer? Hey man, you need help, right? So it has been a summer of help. It's great to have you back on the show. And I got your ads running on the radio here now. And I thought of you a lot, man. I was in New York last week and thought about technology and, bringing the world back together again. And I know, it's everywhere, technology, right? Like, and what do we do with it? How do we use it, right?
For sure. Yeah. I'll take chief digital officer over web doctor. You can call me whatever you want. I'll take it. Technology and tying digital strategy and social media and everything together to weave into one a holistic approach is what I do. I've enjoyed collaborating with you. You got a lot of good things going.
Things too.
Well, I mean, you have to deal with the bad to get to the good. But you've come a long way.
If I didn't have stuff that was broken, I wouldn't have to call you, right? Like, I mean, that's part of this whole thing in the journey is like when I started to do the website and move my brand from NST to Baltimore Positive, I'm like, I'm going to need some nerds way smarter than me who are up all night doing internet stuff. And like, I thought of you and like our relationship goes back so far. I don't think we really know where we met, right? Because we kept running into each other because such is Smaltimore and all that. But every day I see new businesses come online. I thought about New York when I was there that every other business was shuttered. And I'm an entrepreneur. So I'm thinking like, there's going to be a new business that's going to go in there and they're going to need to have 2025 tools in order to succeed, right? So for all of the tumult in society, there are opportunities out there, but the opportunities, I think, and this isn't just because I'm in a web business or, I mean, I'm an AM radio station owner, right? Like if you're not utilizing the web and you're not learning new things every day, whether it's your new device, whether it's a new app, whether you have to be learning. It's almost like being a doctor in order to master this and use it to serve whatever your needs are, whether it's just taking care of your kids, right? But this has become essential, absolutely essential.
For sure. I'm still trying to recover for the indirect referrals, me as being a nerd, but I can get over that. But yes, I hear
I'm
you.
Nerdy?
Yeah. Well, you know,
look at my pictures.
Look, I think a couple things. I think that people should get comfortable with the fact that technology does break. You have version 1.0, version 1.1, version 1.2. Well, why is there a version 1.2? Because there's something broken in version 1.1. So I think people need to become comfortable with the fact that technology is not perfect and it continues to evolve. Second is that when technology is pretty buttoned down, I think people need to get comfortable with the idea that they're never going to be able to wrap their arms around things without some help, whether that's help from a chief digital officer, whether that's help from YouTube to try to figure out what's broken.
Or their nephew on how to work the VCR, right?
Right. Literally. And it's funny you get back to nerd. I was semi-kidding, but everyone, I'm a strategist. So I'm an entrepreneur. I love to learn about people's business. And then I love to figure out how to leverage digital strategies to grow the business. But I have people calling me. I had a buddy of mine down the street call me. He's like, I got a new printer. Can you help me hook it up? And I'm like, I mean, I can try. I mean, that's not my thing. I'm not a networking guy, but of course I was able to figure it out. But I think if people become comfortable, I have another client who's just so intimidated and so down on himself because he doesn't understand this stuff.
An embrace of it. Right. I mean, you must embrace it. And I go back to like the Woody Allen piece, and you can Google this. It was called My War with Machines. And I remember reading this in like the seventh or eighth grade. And it was a comedy piece, and you can think what you want about Woody Allen and his, you know, freakitude and what jail he should probably be in. But the idea even then that his joke was a war with his toaster not working and things in the 1960s that didn't work, right? Then right. VCRs come on. And I was the first one to have a VCR. I was 11 years old, 1979, 1980. And my dad could not figure it. My dad was the other generation. Like, I was always baffled. Like, Pop, you're a really smart guy. Like, you got a whole set of tools. You build things. You can't figure out how to set the timer on the VCR. Like, really? Right. Like, it's 1981, Pop. I mean, you can't do this. And I think all these years later, to your point about the printer, and maybe this is where the conversation really needs to go, because I want to plug your friend and my friend, Dave Knoll, and MOI. And you know, while I'm doing that, I'm gonna raise my desk up, because I have one button. Watch what happens. I hit one button, and the camera goes up, but I have to, like, stand in order to make it happen. But you and I were talking about going back to work and working from home, right? Yep. And my wife is the greatest example ever, because my wife works for a major international company, hundreds of thousands of employees all over the world. And now her world headquarters is the other room. And her world view is the Wi-Fi working or the hotspot working when the Wi-Fi doesn't work or the electricity in the building going out. That now all of a sudden everyone has had to make their workspace, their home workspace, the world headquarters of whatever they're running that used to be an office. And man, we're really running into something right now. And I know Dave's talked about this. I should bring him on next month, talk about it too, about people going back to work. My wife's company has had, internal debate. Her whole team's worked from home for years and years since my wife got sick. Since 2015, they've hoteled where they're supposed to go to the office one day a month, but they wind up doing it four times a year. And every company's going through this, but if you're not going back to work and you're working from home, I think everyone this time last year found out, don't have enough gerbils in the, you know, I don't have enough Wi-Fi. I don't have the right screen. Look at what I've done. Look at you and me the last 6 months, what Dave has done for me to put a screen together that has made my body stop hurting. I was in pain, abject pain for 100 days here all winter until I got a chair that worked, started standing. And I think the technology part, when I see my wife go online at 8:01 and they change their password every day for protection, right? Like, one out of every 10 days, she has a tech issue that someone in India needs to help with, literally, for her to be able to work from home.
Well, we got to take a step back and recognize that when all this craziness started in March of 2020, business leaders had no choice but to figure it out on the fly. And I think overall, we did a really, really good job. Thank goodness there was technology already available that was within reason as far as being able to be affordable to allow people the flexibility to work from home.
And allow kids to go to school and teachers to teach from home, right? I mean, we were talking about those challenges this time last year. And hey, what, the kids aren't going back to school in September? Oh my, Bill Cole and I had a conversation about that. Like, oh my God, that you can't have the kids not go back to school. Well, if the technology works, but then again, everybody's Woody Allen, right? Like, everybody has stuck the thing into the hole and it didn't work. And oh my God, what's wrong? And how do I Mike, every day I do a Zoom. You and I fight about your microphone, right, off air. Like, every day I do Zooms with people and they can't figure out. Billick and I spent 15 minutes trying to get his audio working from Minnesota up on his ranch so we could talk. But right. We got it working, and he's a smart guy and I'm a smart guy. But when it doesn't work, this microphone comes unplugged every third segment. It says it doesn't like it. And I don't know why.
Right. That's part of it. But for the most part, we survived. We evolved. We figured it out. And now the issue is that companies like your wife's are having conversations about, okay, how do we evolve back? And I had a very interesting conversation with business owners just last evening at the Oriole game, where we were discussing the challenges of leading companies and taking away a new freedom that people had in exchange for the culture that's desired for the business owner and the organization.
Yeah, I built an office here. I went, right. I got all feng shui and we put this together so we could collaborate and have that mojo that you can only have when you're in a room and we're paying for it per square foot. You know, the whole world's based on that. Man, being in New York last week, Mike, oh my God, I don't know what's going to go into that space and what's going to make it fly the way New York flew.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see that, that's for sure. But imagine being the CEO, one of those people who made the investment in the office to build the culture. They didn't just build the culture for themselves. They built it for their employees. And now people saying, I want to stay home. I don't like being in the car for an hour back and forth for the commute. I don't like having to get dressed up to go to work every day. I was able to be as efficient, if not more efficient, from working from my home. Why do I have to come back to the office? And, we didn't talk about this yesterday. You just brought it up now. I wish we had. You brought up students. Okay, so let's take a step back and let's take our, business hat off and just talk about just human behavior. Students, I think we would all agree that it was safe for the teachers and the administrators and the janitors to not have school, in-person school. So a lot of people would debate that, but no one will debate the fact that everyone should be in a position to go back to school in September. I don't know how many people would argue that it's unhealthy or it's more efficient or it's better for children to stay at home in September and not go back to school. I think universally 90%+, I could be wrong, I'm making this up as I go, but I think universally—
Well, there is the 8% that homeschool or whatever, and the reason they homeschool is they don't want their kids— right?
Subtract them because they were there before the pandemic.
Sure.
So subtract them from the
equation.
And
they're not changing their mind.
Exactly, that feel that, oh my God, my child should go back to school. It's a healthier place for them to be. If you agree upon that, why would it be any different for adults? Why would it be any different to go back?
Because we don't play nice together, adults.
Well, but so that's the but you hear me, that's the challenge.
The amazing thing for me is my wife and I work together and I'm in this room and she's in that room, she can never come in here because I'm doing this. I can't be distracted, right?
Yep.
And I try not to distract her, but I do. You know what I mean? I just do. Mm-hmm. And I think to myself, my God, in an office, there'd be 500 idiots like me to distract you. I'm the only idiot in here, me and the cat, right? Right. And I do think about productivity levels in and out of the office environment and what this hybrid's going to be. And Mike, I love it that it's our conversation. By the way, Mike Rosenfeld's our guest. He is my digital doctor. He can be your digital doctor as well. Chief digital officer or just web nerd that knows a lot. And, if you don't think you need a doctor, he'll be a nurse, whatever, practitioner, whatever you need him to be to help you out. But I love this conversation because I think the world's really going through this, right? And not that my wife's company is, because they're really not. I mean, she's going to be working from here. She was working from here all along. But if they hauled her in and they said, you got to come to Silver Spring every day in order to keep your job and you got to get in the, I guess she'd go do it, but that might be the time she starts looking for a new gig, right? I mean, and that's another part of this is, oh, I kept my job with corporation X that I hated 18 months ago. I still hate them. I hate where I work. All my whole life, I've sat in front of 1,000 different people who told me how much they hated their other job and why they wanted to do sports radio and yell on the radio, right? I can only imagine whatever that emotion was 2 years ago about your gig, that if you found the liberation and kept your gig and thrived to however you could thrive in the last 12 months, then the boss says, you still live in Long Island, come into the city, or you live in Baltimore, go out to Frederick or whatever those commutes are. And Mike, you've been driving around. Looks like there's a lot of people commuting somewhere. I mean, my God, there's a lot of cars on the road. There's just a lot of people on the road. I don't know where the hell they're going, but to your point, they're not all going back to work 9 to 5 because I was in New York. It's not really open like that.
Yeah. I haven't been back to New York and it's going to happen probably this summer to A, see what's going on, and B, to just to contribute back to helping them get back to as close to normal as they.
I got soup dumplings for you in Chinatown. Let me know.
Okay, I will remember. I'll make a note to get that tip before we go. Yeah, I mean, look, business owners, there is a precedent that will be set by decisions that are made about how we re-enter and go back to what is going to be the new normal after this pandemic. And you're right. If you make someone come and do the commute to Silver Spring, they're going to be looking for another job. But as far as the employer goes, if the employer is so convinced that the culture that they have built prior to the pandemic is a culture that they want to preserve, then I guess they should be comfortable with people leaving that aren't down with that culture after this fact, and they will substitute.
Yeah, you don't want to
them.
Be around other people. You're probably not fit for my company.
Exactly. And that could be an aha moment. So half of me, look, you and I run smaller businesses. The people I were talking to run larger businesses than we do, but they're still considered small business. But they have decisions to make. I think if it were me, and it's easy for me to say, I would be true to the culture that I think fosters the best outcomes. And if people who had been with me for years are uncomfortable going back to that type of environment because they think the grass is greener finding a job that allows them to work at home, then they don't really embrace the culture that I want to keep. And you have to be okay with that. And you'll have to live with the consequences, and you'll have to lose that person and onboard someone else and go through the pain of training them and getting them up to speed. But those are the decisions that smart people are having to make right now. And it'll be very interesting to see how things wind up.
I want to have you on in our next segment talk about privacy and phones and Apple and Google. And I think everybody who is on the web that's a living, breathing creature this summer has seen the cookie opt-ins and all of that stuff and trying to understand what they know about me, what they don't know about me. Mike, I'll be honest with you, man. I found a we were cleaning out the radio station the other day, and I found a tiny little snake. Like it was like, and we Googled it, and it's harmless, right? Whatever. And I didn't even have my phone out. We didn't take any pictures of it. We just said the word snake, and all of a sudden, like, I start getting snake stuff on my face. Like, I really started to think where Big Brother is, and what Alexa hears from me, and what Google hears, like. It weirds me out. Now, I want to do a whole segment on that because I think a lot of people are getting these opts now, and the government's going to be involved in the whole way in all of this privacy stuff. But I'm feeling a little compromised in my old age. I'm feeling a little, what do they know about me? What do the Russians know?
Yeah, well, you should. You should be, not to scare you. And I know you hate that stuff, so you're very tuned in into that. I think that the government's on top of it. You know, there's a lot to be said about people not wanting government to be on top of anything. They want them out of their lives. But yeah, my brother sends me these screenshots of emails that he's getting with my name on them to him, wondering how that happened. We're both trying to figure out how did this happen? And right next to me, for those who are watching and those who aren't, I'm pointing to a Google Home device that sits on my desk, which I know listens to everything I say.
Too much for me.
Yeah, I know.
More than I want.
Right, and I know that there are sacrifices to give letting it listen and pick up on trends versus the ability for it to provide insight and answers to me quickly. And that's the price you pay. And people who are privacy people will say, you're nuts to have this sitting there. But I'm a tech guy, and I'm trying to figure out I need to understand in order to guide my clients to figure out all these tools.
My war with machines, it never ends. And that's why I need Mike Rosenfeld. He's Web Connection. Now you find him out on the front of WNST and Baltimore Positive and helping us and helping me. And I'm still working on some paper, man. You know, I got to keep a little paper in my life. You know, I mean, not for privacy, just to keep it together. But I'm a digital madman, as you well know. You can find us at Baltimore Positive with our wise conversations and intelligent conversations, including our chats with Mike. We'll see you next week, Mike.
You got it.
Web Connection helping me, Chief Digital Officer. He didn't like when I call him a nerd. That just means he's smarter than me. We need all the help we can get. I'm out on Instagram. I'm out on Facebook and LinkedIn and all of those places that make the web the web. And we're going to be with Stuart Pittman, Anne Arundel County Executive, down at G&M eating delicious crab cakes, legendary crab cakes down in Anne Arundel County this week. Johnny O is going to be joining us in a few weeks, as well as Brandon Scott. And if you missed Barry Glassman, a Harford County Executive, that is all up at Baltimore Positive, including out in the podcast audio vault. I am Nestor. You can find me, Nest, at BaltimorePositive.com. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore Positive.